Father, let not one person live here the same. Let your hand be heavy this morning. Let your presence become the clothing for somebody. Let there be a tangible encounter today that will mark someone for the rest of their lives. We give you the praise and we give you the honor. Be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. Welcome everyone this morning to this our year of reigning as kings and to this second Sunday of 2026. I believe that our lives will never remain the same in the name of Jesus. Somebody say a loud amen. We're going to be looking, taking the subject forward from where we started. But today, particularly, we shall be descending on keys to reigning as kings. What are the keys to our reign as kings? It said in the book of 1 Peter, and our objective is just like it is. Keys. To reigning, understanding our keys, to reigning as kings. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9, the scripture says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Royal priesthood. That is kingly priests and priestly kings. This scripture makes it clear that we are destined to be kings and priests. By redemption, every child of God, every saint of God is destined to be a king and a priest, a territorial commander, a generational influencer, somebody whose presence can't be ignored and whose absence can't be forgotten. The challenge, however, is that not many children of God are kings in reality. We are designed, we are destined by redemption, but not many are reigning in reality. As a matter of fact, Solomon painted the picture very, very terribly in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 5, all the way to verse 7. He spoke of an evil which he saw under the sun. He said, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an arrow which proceeded from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, but I saw princes walking as servants upon the earth. Those who should be on the horse are on foot. Those who should be on foot are on the horse." He says it's an evil, it's an evil, it's an error, it's an error. When we look through the scripture, we saw the days of Abraham, they were on the horses. You saw the days of Solomon, they were on the horses. You saw the days of Job, they were on the horses. You saw the days of King David. These were people on the horses. Joseph, in their generation. But today, the children of God have almost agreed to be scared away from the horses. Don't go near there. You are meant to be a Christian. The good things of this life, the top positions, don't belong to people of God. That is a lie of the stupid, useless devil. When you are up there, you are not humble. It is the lie of the devil. You are the light of the world. The city is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Unbelievers don't apologize to be up. Sinners don't apologize to be up. Mahashabagadagalagaya. Those who do the business of the world and the business of the business of the earth, the business of the earth that ends with this world, don't apologize to be up. But they want the sins of God to apologize and to be trepidatious for being up. That devil is a liar. No wonder the church agreed to be referred to as rats in those days when they say as poor as the church rat. Because in those days, the church had nothing to show. And all you could see in the church were benches and pews and even the rat in the church had nothing to eat. So they called it poor as church rat. But when God began to glorify the church according to scripture, and the church began to grow and come out of that rat level and became the light of the world, the devil and his agents ran mad. But the devil has seen nothing yet. Somebody shout the loudest, say amen. Look at your neighbor, say the error must be corrected. The evil must be corrected. The error must be corrected. Don't forget that. It's a folly is set in dignity. I say, I have seen servants on horses. And then I saw princes, the people that should be on the horse, walking upon the earth as servants. That error is corrected in the name of Jesus Christ. Taking it forward, therefore, what is it that will take us into our reality? We started last Sunday. Number one was possessing the seed of royalty, the keys to your royalty. We spoke about it last Sunday. Possessing the seed of royalty, being born of royalty. You can continue from the keys to royalty last Sunday. That's right. Possessing the seed of royalty, being born again. Being born again. When you are born of a lion, you are royal. You are royal. You are royal. You don't struggle to be royal. When you are born of the eagle, rather born in the royal family, you are royal. There is a royalty in being born again. Whoever gave birth to you determines your place, has a role in your place in the earth. Number two is possessing the anointing for enthronement. The anointing we saw in Leviticus 21 and in verse 12, that the anointing is a crown. For the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon his head. Whatever you do to walk in the anointing puts a crown upon your head. And I'll talk about that shortly by the time I tell you about the journey we just took. What does the anointing do for you? I'll take off from there. First of all, the anointing breaks limitations over life and destiny. They are the limitations of your life. Whatever said you or your family or your lineage or your nation or your community should not ascend to a certain level, the anointing it breaks limitations. It breaks limitations over lives and destinies. In that day the burden shall be lifted from your shoulder. Isaiah chapter 10 and in verse 27. And the yoke from your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. What does the anointing do for you? Secondly, The anointing releases potentials for impact and influence. It releases your potentials. The potentials on the inside of you, they are released so you can impact and influence your world. It takes you to the top. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 and in verse 5. In verse 1, the anointing came upon Saul. And in verse 5, the potentials came out of him. And he prophesied. And he became turned into another man. So it is a possession of the anointing. Breaks your yokes and takes you up. Third key, which is what we are starting with this morning, is possessing character for royalty. There is character for royalty. There is character for royalty. Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 1, it said, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The lion is the symbol of royalty, and righteousness is hereby equated with royalty. The righteous are like the lion. The righteous are kings. The righteous rule. Character is a capital requirement for royalty. We saw that in the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 39 and in verse 9, he talked about how will he do this wickedness and sin against God, talking with Potiphar's wife. In Genesis 42 and in verse 18, and Joseph said unto them, the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. I fear God. This fear of God and this avoidance of wickedness positioned Joseph in the highest position in the land. This fear of God. The Bible says righteousness exalts. Proverbs chapter 14 and in verse 34. Righteousness is a lifter. It's a lifter. Exalts a nation. But sin is a demoter. It's a reproach to any people possessing the character of royalty. We saw that in the life of Joseph. Now, how many of us know that lions eat only carcass that is fresh? They kill it fresh and eat it. They don't taste corruption. What the lion leaves, the leftover from the lion is what the hyenas eat. Hyenas and others can eat anything, but for the lion, it is fresh. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And the lion is a symbol of kingship. The lion is the king of the forest. If you are going to be a lion in your generation, you must avoid corruption. You must avoid defilement. You must avoid uncleanness. If you are going to be a lion in your generation, beloved, it is not negotiable. If it is Almighty God that is going to take you up, that is going to position you and position you on the throne of your influence in your generation, that is going to happen by possessing character for royalty. Possessing character for royalty. Number four is possessing mentality for royalty. Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 7, the Bible said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. There is a mentality to royalty. You heard of the lion before in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 30. It said, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any, is the strongest among beasts. Has it ever occurred to you that the lion is not bigger than the hippopotamus? Has it ever occurred to you that the lion is not bigger than the giraffe? As a matter of fact, both the ostrich and the giraffe can do a back kick and injure the lion to death. just a back kick because of the power of their legs. But the lion assumed that he is in charge. He said, I am not ruling you by size. I am ruling you by sense. I have the sense. I have the sense for rulership. So if the lion is coming and the giraffe is coming, it's the giraffe that will turn aside. He turneth not away for anything. Beloved, what is limiting you is not your size, it is your sense. What is limiting you is not your nation, it's your discretion. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Mentality is the foundation for reality. Your mentality will eventually produce your reality. Your mentality will eventually produce your reality. Beloved brothers and sisters, there is a mentality for royalty, and there is a mentality that guarantees authority. There is a way you carry, there is a thinking that imparts authority, that guarantees authority. And the lion has such a mentality. I have made up my mind that I am not inferior to anybody worldwide, whatever be your color, white, black, yellow, red, anything. It did not start today. Do you understand what I'm saying? One day one of my children looked at me and said, Daddy, who taught you how to walk? I said, how is the walk? He said, that is the way the walk is. And I say, well, it is a product of what is inside. There is something from the inside that imparts you with a sense. You know, there's something they call the confidence strides of a lion, the confidence strides of a tigress, the confidence strides of a lioness. It is right from the inside. I'd like you to change your mind. In the second service, I'll take the second part of it. Change your mind. When you change your mind, you change your end. You change your mind, you change your end. You change your mind, you change your end. You change your mentality, you change your reality. Possessing mentality for royalty. Number five. Is possessing light for royalty. Now, light is a major sponsor of mentality. Possessing light for royalty. There is a light, there is an insight, there is an understanding that makes royal. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, all the way to verse 2, the Bible said, Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Now, verse 3, he said, behold, verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Kings. That is, you step into the company of kings by the possession of light. The light that makes you shine. You step into the company of kings. Kings shall come to the brightness of thy rising. And kings to the brightness of the rising. Beloved, don't forget that light is a lifter. Light lifts. Connection with light is connection with lift. Light is a lifter of men. It was light that lifted the apostle Peter. When Jesus said, whom do men say I am? In Matthew chapter 16 verse 13 all the way to verse 18. Whom do men? And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, I? He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. By this light, I lift you from the congregation of the general apostles. I lift you to become the head apostle. I lift you to become the rock apostle. You are lifted by this light. Because you saw what they couldn't see, I place you where I won't place them. May God open your eyes to see. May God open your eyes to see who you are in God. May God open your eyes to see who you are in God. May God open your eyes to see who you are in God. May God open your eyes to see what God has made you in your generation. Can somebody say loud amen? That is why some of us, we don't consider it an advantage to live in any part of this world as an advantage above another. For some of us, whether you live in America, in Britain, or in Nigeria, the same thing. Am I communicating? For some of us, it doesn't constitute an advantage to know anybody. It doesn't. We know the person who is too much to know. We know the one who is too massive, is so massive. Once you know him, you are effortlessly known. Did you hear what I said? Once you know God, you become effortlessly known. Once you are connected to him, you have the highest connection. Once you are a citizen of his kingdom, you are the citizen of the best kingdom on the earth. You are the citizen of the best kingdom on the earth. Somebody say loud amen. We had had opportunities to live in a couple of countries before now. But it meant nothing. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's a product of mentality. A product of mentality. And I believe that today, somebody's mind is changing. You are saying amen, say it loud, amen. In those days when there was a lot of kidnapping, you remember in those days, many, many years ago, during Niger Delta militant area, the south area, I came to Warri for a program, and I saw plenty white men here. Even at the airport, one of them met me and was asking me, oh, how are you doing? I said, fine. What are you doing? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, for how long have you been pastor? I said, about 20 years now. That's like 10 years ago or so or so. He said, are you saying you are 20 years? I said, no. And then I think Dr. Mr. Nature or somebody said, despite the danger and the threat in this area, all these people are still here. Because no matter how hard you try, you can't drive the ant from honey. There is something they are seeing. The land cannot be so bad until they can come. You can't detach them. The nation where some are running to was where the people are coming to, despite whatever danger was on the ground. That means there is good in the land. And for your information, every land on earth has good in it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. The poorest village in this world, there are lenders still there. There are people go to borrow money from. Yes, Hallelujah. I prophesy today the change of mentality for somebody that is changing somebody's reality. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. Lift your right and say, Father, I receive the light. I receive the light. I receive the light. I receive the light. I receive the light to reign in life. I receive that light to reign for God in my generation. If you have received that light, say aloud, amen. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Possessing light for royalty. Number six is the art of turning many unto righteousness. Are we going to reign for God in our generation? We must be involved in that art of turning many to righteousness. Daniel chapter 12 and in verse 3, the Bible said, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Forever and ever. They that turn many to righteousness, they shall be as stars. Are you trusting God to be a star personality in your generation? Then I want you to make up your mind to become involved in turning many to righteousness. Turn many. Let your life become such a life that is centered, that is passionate about turning many to righteousness. Peter was a fisherman, but he walked in the realm where many of his colleagues could not walk, as he became a fisher of men. In Acts chapter 5 verse 13, look at the description of what happened around the life of Peter. He said, and of the rest doth no man join himself to them, but the people magnify them. That is Peter and his companies, and the believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women, in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they healed, and were healed everyone. Peter stepped to a point where he was so magnified by God that his shadow became an asset. Did you hear what I just said? His shadow became an asset. His shadow became an asset. What are you living for? What are you living for? We had to go to the country of Panama, what I will call the Macedonian call, in the course of a fast at the beginning of January, under pressure. They want us to be there for a program that is very, very critical for them, for the nation. All right, we are coming. I haven't done that, travel out of the country during this kind of season, but since it's a call, we went. I think they sent from the office of the president to pick us right from the airport, from the plane. And moved us in for the program. By the time we were through the second day, the woman who represented the president at the meeting was in tears. Say, I love you people. I am so grateful that you came to our country. She held both of us, both me and others. She wouldn't let us go. We didn't go in our name. We went in the name of the Lord. So we were received like royalty. Not in our name, but in the name of the Lord. When you are involved in the business of turning many to righteousness, no devil, no matter how bitter, can stop your stardom. Can stop your reigning. The other day I came across a story of a Brazilian footballer who put a band on his head in football games, 100% Jesus. I'm sure that our people may have an idea of that guy. 100% Jesus. Neymar. 100% Jesus. He wears, that is evangelism. If you like my football play, I think he got inspiration from Kaka. If you like my football play, if you like anything, that was Ricardo Kaka who said, I belong to Jesus. That was evangelism. These are people who influence young people and several people. And if this person can belong to Jesus, if this one can say 100% Jesus, then I'm following that Jesus. He said, they that turn many to righteousness as stars. I heard that this one with the band was offered $500,000 to stop using the band. He said, really? I prefer to wear the band than to have your money. Do you understand what I'm talking about? They that turn many to righteousness. They that turn many to righteousness. They that turn many to righteousness are stars forevermore. Somebody told me of the young man that scored the match, the goal in the African Nations Cup. Was this yesterday or something? He did an Instagram post, and the song that he played on in that post was a gospel song. The song sung by this pastor. That was his post ahead of the match. Do you understand what I'm talking about? The time has come where we should stop hiding our identity with Jesus. The devil and his agents have vowed to stop the church in this season and in this end time. And the church and the people of God must vow to stop the devil and to lead many to righteousness. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Somebody say a loud amen. On our way from that hotel yesterday, the waiter said, I am happy to have you in our country. He speaks fluent English. Potter said, can you pray for me before we go? And as I prayed for him, Dr. Miss Anenja said, just pray this prayer after me. And began to lead him to Christ on the spot. Before he could finish the prayer, he started shedding tears. Crying like a baby. He said, I feel so much love. To be led to Christ for him means love. Many of us think we are doing the people the favor by not talking to them and disturbing them. No. They feel loved. I feel so much love that you are interested in my soul to tell me about God. Beloved brothers and sisters, whatever you do this year, whatever be your assignment, a doctor, a lawyer, a businessman, in your course of travel, in your journey, in all that you do, ensure that Jesus Christ is advertised. Jesus Christ is publicized. Let people know who you are. Let them know who you are and where you are coming from. And no devil can stop your stardom. I prophesy today the release of fresh fire, the release of fresh passion, evangelistic passion, heart for souls, be released upon everyone here in the name of Jesus. The act of turning many unto righteousness, it will take you up. It happened to Billy Graham. It happened to some of these stars I'm talking about.
and it is happening to you. Number seven is possessing diligence for royalty. Possessing diligence for royalty. Proverbs 22 and in verse 29. It says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. He cannot stand before ordinary men." Show me a man that is diligent in his business, in what he does, he will be in the company of kings. God will never lift the lazy. God cannot lift the lazy. God cannot assist the indolent. Someone wrote the other day, he said he saw me ministering in Lagos and then returned back from Lagos and came in straight here for Commander Day midnight prayer, joining the prayer after 12 midnight and then having to meet that schedule on a consistent basis. He said, people think it is just luck. No. God will never lift the lazy. Look at King Saul. How was he anointed king? That was a king's, the president's representative. She won't let us go. How was... All right, you are busy showing us. Yeah, that's right. Who am I? That was his song on his page, on his Instagram. Hallelujah. Listen to this. What made Saul to collide with Samuel? Diligence. His father had many children, but it was Saul he picked. He said, "My donkeys are missing. Can you help me go look for the donkeys and help me find them?" And he began to look for the donkeys. In the course of looking, going through the mountains of Israel, the valleys, the deserts, in that his path jammed with the prophet Samuel. That led him to the anointing. It looked to me like his father knew who would do the work. How many of you know that when you have many children, you can summon the king, you stand up and do this? That was how he knew it. And he summoned Saul. And in the course of that diligent search for his father's donkey for 3 days and three nights, he came in contact with Samuel, who anointed him. Many of us, God wants to do many things in our lives, but laziness is too much. Sleepiness is too much. Everything slips out of the hand of the sleeper. Did you hear what I just said? Everything slips away from the hands of the sleeper. Sleepiness is too much. Indolence is too much. Covenant with worklessness. I don't know what you have done, but by 12 noon, you are already tired. You slept 8 hours from night till morning, and you woke up tired again. And like I asked some time ago, you slept to rest from what? And you ate food in the morning to get energy to achieve what? Do you understand? I want us to come to the point where this year you will make a covenant with work. My father worketh hitherto, and I walk. And from this moment forward, laziness, you have no place in my life. At times my wife said, "You need rest." I said, "Yes, somebody has to be tired before he rests." I said, "Won't you rest a little?" I said, "Yes, when I am tired, I'll rest." He said, go, would you lie down and sleep a little? I said, should I force myself to sleep when there is no sleep? We are not a generation that go to bed to look for sleep. Sleep carry us from the chair. The chair where you are walking, sleep carry you from there. I prophesy today a fresh release of fire, a fresh release of energy, a fresh release of diligence, a fresh baptism of diligence. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. When I go to a part of the world where the time has changed, I maintain my work schedule there. I maintain my time there. I just maintain the time like I'm home. So that when I come back home, the schedule of timing remains. Hallelujah. Possessing diligence for royalty. And finally, this morning, is possessing vision and divine direction for royalty. Vision. Joseph was a vision made man. In Genesis 37 from verse 5 to verse 9, told us of how Joseph dreamed a dream. I think dreaming a dream is different from he dreamt. He didn't say he dreamt a dream, he dreamed. Dreamt means maybe he slept in the night and saw something. But dream means he was literally dreaming it, like, by this time next year, 10 years time. It's a dreaming process. Looks to me like a conscious effort, a conscious thing. Hallelujah. And please note that the dreams of today are the realities of tomorrow. Papa Yedeko says things and some people get angry. He said, I am not surprised at where we are. I would have been surprised if we are not there. The dreams of today are the realities of tomorrow. What is not your vision today cannot be your possession tomorrow. What is not your vision today cannot be your portion tomorrow. God told Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, I will give to you. What do you see? Someone came to me and said, they have the leading to go into political office and become so and so. I said, can I have your vision? You are going there to achieve what? So put it in writing. Document it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is what I am going to do. And when I get there, this is the impact of it on the people. When they brought a draft, I say it doesn't contain what should be there. What is the practicality of the touch on people's lives? You know, the reason why we have the challenge in our nation and in this part of the world is where people just aspire for office like a job. The vision will include if God lifts you up, what impact will the kingdom feel? When God lifts you up, what impact will the people feel? What will be the implication of your existence to your generation? What do you see yourself? How do you see life turning for people? It's not about your own personal comfort or your own personal enjoyment. Any dream that is not beyond you is not a dream, it's a fantasy. It's a fantasy. It's a wish. Just not, just if it's any dream that is not beyond you. Beyond you, your immediate you, your you and your family. If it's not beyond you, it's not qualified to come to pass. Hallelujah. And I believe today that somebody is going to begin to think in terms of how your life will affect a generation, how your life will affect a nation, how your life will affect your community, how your life will affect territories. Hallelujah. That journey that we went, we did not go there and say, so how much are you going to pay us? Okay, this is our flight cost. This is nothing. Nothing. What is in need for me? Nothing. Went and came. I'd like us to begin to see ourselves where God sees us and see how our lives begin to impact our world and transform our generation. Beloved, these eightfold keys, if we can engage them, first of all, possessing the seed of royalty, like we saw last Sunday, and second, possessing the anointing for enthronement, and third, possessing character for royalty, and four, mentality for royalty, and five, light for royalty. Six, the act of turning many unto righteousness. Seven, possessing diligence, not a lazy man, for royalty. And eight, vision and divine direction for royalty. Then you are on your way. Stand up on your feet, everyone. Stand up on your feet and lift up your hands and let's give him the praise. Let's give him the honor. Let's give him the adoration. Let's give him the worship. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Elohim. Lift up your hands and say after me, say, Father, thank you. Louder, say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. In the name of Jesus, I am grateful to you for your word to my life. In the name of Jesus, Father, I am available. I ask that you will help me in the name of Jesus to be all you want me to be. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask for your help to live for you with the seed of royalty. I ask for the anointing for enthronement. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you help me with the right character for royalty. In the name of Jesus, I ask for the mentality for royalty. I ask for light. Open my eyes to see light, to receive light for royalty. I ask that you help me with the heart for souls, to turn many to righteousness for you. In the name of Jesus, I ask for energy for walk. I reject laziness. In the name of Jesus, I ask for the vision and divine direction unto royalty. I receive it in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. Jesus.